Today is the birth anniversary of Alfred Nobel, born in Sweden on October 21, 1833. He was an inventor in his own right, but he is better known today for having bequeathed his wealth to give an annual award for services rendered to humanity in the fields of the sciences, literature, and for peace of mankind. And perhaps we can say that the Nobel Prize is the most prestigious honor in the world, representing worldwide recognition. Who would not want recognition for his achievement in his career? Everyone does, and there is nothing wrong with that. Now, probably you are asking, is there anything similar in the kingdom of God? Meron bang katumbas sa kaharian ng Diyos pagdating sa mga paglilingkod na ginagawa natin in the service that we render for the church? Why don't we have such annual recognition, a prize that represents the recognition of Christianity? Well, it is a totally different nature in kingdom service. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to be recognized and honored. In the wisdom of God, therefore, true service in His kingdom begins in the most unrecognized forum. So it is not recognition that we are after. If we are going to serve the Lord, we want Christ to be recognized. Therefore, true Christian service begins where there is no recognition. And that forum where nobody recognizes it is in the secret place with God. Ang umpisa ng tunay na paglilingkod sa Diyos ay hindi yung tayo ay kilalanin, tayo ay hangaan, kundi nagsisimula nga doon sa lugar kung saan walang nakakakita, walang makakakilala, kundi ang Diyos lamang ang nakakaalam ng ating ginagawa, at yan ay sa lihim na dako ng dalanginan. Ito ang tunay na disenyo ng Diyos sa panalangin. There is no recognition there, no plaque of appreciation, no applause. But it taps into God's power. We believe, I hope with conviction, that our God is a prayer-hearing God. And if that is true, we must esteem prayer highly. And esteeming prayer highly is demonstrated not by talking about how important it is to pray. Demonstrating the importance of prayer is seen in praying. Kung talagang pinahalagahan natin ang panalangin, hindi sapat na nagsasalita tayo tungkol sa kahalagahan ng panalangin, kundi yung tayo talaga ay nananalangin. At kasama na riyan yung pagpapahalaga natin sa panalangin sa atin ng mga kapatiran. Esteeming prayer highly is also seen in the way we seek the prayers of the brethren. We seek their intercession. And therefore, we should find it natural, even necessary, to seek the prayers of our brethren on our behalf. And we are looking at one such prayer request that we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I would invite you again to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 to 4. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 4. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. I have explained in the previous messages that this church in Thessalonica is going through a serious doctrinal problem that led Paul to write two letters. Yung kanilang problema sa doktrina ay may kinalaman sa ikalawang pagparito ng ating Panginoong Jesus. Doon sa unang sulat, iwinawasto ni Pablo yung kaisipan na dahil napakalapit ng dumating ni Jesus, ay iniiwanan nila yung kanilang mga gawain sa mundo. Inaakala nila na ang paraan ng paghihintay ay maghintay ka rin hanggang si Jesus ay dumating. At yun ay iwinasto ni Pablo sa unang sulat, ngunit sa halip na sila'y mawasto, lumala pa. And this time, there was confusion spreading in the church that taught that Jesus has already come. So sa una, malapit na ang itong kinailangang isulat ni Pablo ang ikalawang sulat, may nagtuturo na nakarating na, bumalik na si Jesus, at ito ang iwinawasto ni Apostol Pablo dito sa iglesia sa Thessalonica. And as I've explained, I'm not going through that. I'm not going to explain this doctrinal confusion, but rather to use it to all the more see how impressive it is that Paul is asking this church, With such doctrinal confusion, yet Paul still esteems their prayers very highly so that he sought their prayers. And there we learn that we must value and seek the prayers of brethren on our behalf. And Paul goes on to the specific matter for his prayer request. And the first thing in his mind is for the word. And I explained that we are dealing with this in two messages that reflects the two concerns of the apostle about the word. We saw last week, the first in verses 1 and 2 pertain to its missionary expansion. And there we learn that prayer is an essential key to the missionary expansion of the word of the gospel. Susi ang panalangin para sa pagsusulong ng misyon ng ebanghelyo. Kaya samahan natin palagi ng panalangin ang bawat ministeryo ng salita na naghahangad na makakita ng mga tumutugon tungo sa kaligtasan sa salita. We will now address verses 3 and 4 where the issue for Paul pertains to its personal, the word's personal application. And this is my message. The application of the word thrives in the atmosphere of Christ-centered prayer. The application of the word thrives in the atmosphere of Christ-centered prayer. Ang pag-aangkop ng salita ay lumalago sa diwa ng panalangin nakasentro kay Kristo. Now, I'm using the word atmosphere as a studied choice. I do not want us to think of prayer as one of the steps, even if we make it the first step. Because if we make prayer simply as a step, it will reduce prayer to a formula, and prayer is anything but formula. Kaya sa halip na isipin mong mga hakbang, etong unang hakbang, manalangin ka, at pagkatapos mo ng manalangin bilang unang hakbang, maaari mo nang iwanan ang hakbang na yan, tumungo ka naman sa ibang mga hakbang, hindi po ganyan. Ang pananaw natin sa panalangin, rather prayer is like the air that the application of the word breathes. There must be the atmosphere, ito ang pumapalibot sa buong trabaho ng Kristiyano na mamuhay ayon sa salita, kinakailangang pinapalibutan ito ng panalangin. And as Paul thought of the application of the word, he connects this to being Christ-centered. The Lord here, the title Lord here is Christ. Because it goes back to chapter 2, verse 16, where Paul says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself." So the Lord here is not the Father, the Lord here is Christ. Paul is sustaining a Christ-centered outlook of prayer. So we need to be consistent. He begins with the Lord Jesus Christ, and every time he mentions Lord, it must be interpreted as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may ask, what does it matter that we have a Christ-centered prayer in the personal application of the word? Paul connects this to two things. First, faithfulness of the Lord in preserving ang katapatan ng Panginoon sa pag-iingat, faithfulness of the Lord in preserving, and secondly, confidence in the Lord for obeying. Pagtitiwala sa Panginoon para sa pagsunod. So faithfulness of the Lord in preserving, confidence in the Lord for obeying. First of all then, faithfulness of the Lord in preserving, ang katapatan ng Panginoon sa pag-iingat. Pakinggan yung sinabi ni Pablo, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." Now, Paul just asked for prayer in the light of the peril to mission because of wicked and evil men. That's what we saw last week. Because of wicked and evil men who do not have faith, the mission has danger, and let us pray for that. But in contrast with the wicked and evil men, Paul looks at the Thessalonians as a testimony to the preserving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you have people, Paul is suggesting, why do you have people like you who do not belong to the wicked and evil men? And the answer is because Christ is faithful. So it is by the preservation of the Lord Jesus Christ that Christians are kept from their vulnerability. Dahil sa katapatan ng Panginoong Hesukristo, naiingatan ang mga Kristiyano sa kanilang karupukan. That's the interesting word Apostle Paul used for guard. The Lord will guard you. It is the same word used of the tight custody that guards made of Peter when he was arrested in Acts 12 verse 4. We are told 4 squads of soldiers guarded him. Now that's quite an overkill, but the point was they did not want to take any risk of Peter escaping, so he must be put in custody with so many number of soldiers. Now that's the very word used about Christ guarding, putting us in custody of the word. Because there are perils. And in what way are Christians guarded? When do we say we are being preserved? When we are kept in the custody of the word. That's when we are being preserved as Christians. Kailan natin masasabing tayo ngay iniingatan ng Panginoon? Ang mahalagang sukatan ay kung tayo ay nananatili na nasa pagbabantay ng salita ng Diyos. Christian preservation is not about keeping some kind of spiritual feeling and emotion. For as long as you can keep the spiritual feeling and emotion, many people imagine that they are being preserved as Christians. No, it is not that. It is not about keeping some rituals we identify as Christian, such as going to church, reading the Bible. All those things are good, but they do not infallibly demonstrate that we are being preserved just because we keep the rituals, just because we keep the feelings. We can keep those, the feelings and the rituals, and yet be off course in the application of the word. Remember our text, verses 3 and 4, is still part of that prayer request of Paul for the word to be given speed as it has done in Thessalonica. Bahagi pa rin ito ng kahilingan sa panalangin ni Apostol Pablo na pasulungin ang salita ng Diyos sa maraming dako. At yan ang gusto niya mangyari sa mga taga-Thessalonica from missionary expansion. He is asking for that word to have personal application to the members of the church. And if we will measure our Christian life in the right measuring stick, brethren, that measure is the custody of the word. Nasa autoridad ng salita ng Diyos. Do not measure your Christianity by the few things that can be considered Christian, whether activities or emotions. Measure it by how much you are in the custody of the word, or perhaps off course from the custody of the word. One may be in the church and yet be outside the custody of the word in his church life. But when you are in the custody of the word, whether church or outside the church, where do you owe it to? When you are being preserved in the custody of the word, well, you know better your vulnerability than to credit your own resolve for your preservation. Why are we preserved? It is because the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He is the indestructible one, not us. We are vulnerable. We are destructible. And if we are being preserved, it is because there is the indestructible one in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The legend of King Arthur immortalized the sword Excalibur. And there is a very common confusion. They think Excalibur is the sword that Arthur drew out from the stone. It is not. In the real story, that sword is Caliburn. And Caliburn was destroyed during one of the battles. Excalibur was the sword given to him by the woman in the lake. And that sword was indestructible. We are the destructible sword. Christ is the indestructible. And if there is any reason for us to be preserved, if there is the cause of our preservation, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Kung tayo iniingatan, hindi dahil sa tayo yung matibay, hindi dahil sa ating resolusyon, hindi dahil sa ating mga kasigasigan, tayo'y marurupok kung tayo'y naiingatan dahil ito sa katapatan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. And the challenge for us here is engage the Lord's faithfulness in the atmosphere of Christ-centered praying. Danasin mo ang katapatan ng Panginoon sa diwa ng panalangin nakasentro sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Christ-centered praying means you touch base with the cross as the basis of your approach to God. The cross is the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness in that He embraced death on behalf of sinners. And that is the only salvation for sinners. Walang kaligtasan para sa makasalanan maliban doon sa krus, sa kaganapan sa krus ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. And that cross is the evidence that our Lord has been faithful. He embraced death itself in the pursuit of His mission. And touching base with the cross means you make it your basis of approach to God. You do not pray because you feel like prayerful. You can pray because of the cross of Christ. So when our song invited, "Come then, repenting sinner, come approach with humble faith. Oh, what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by His death." That is the basis with which we draw near to our God, because our Lord has been faithful, and our prayer therefore must be Christ-centered. Christ-centered praying means you appeal to the present priestly reign of Christ on your behalf. And it is in this light that Christ was called faithful. In Revelation 1 verse 5, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. This is what we appeal to Christ. Not miracle-working Christ, but the Christ who died on the cross, the Christ who rose from the tomb, the Christ who now reigns at His Father's right hand. And with that basis, your prayer has every reason and confidence for acceptance with God. Filipinos are taking pride today in having the second Filipino saint in the religious pantheon of the Catholic Church. What would I need Pedro Calungsod for when I have Christ? Anong kailangan natin ng panibagong santo kung meron tayong Kristo? At paramihin man ang paramihin ng mga santo, hindi sila aabot sa Panginoong Hesukristo sa kanyang ginawa sa krus. And when we pray, we do not pray to saints. We pray to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what an atmosphere our prayers will have when done in the consciousness of who our Christ is. Well, here is the problem. Much praying is need-centered. Maraming panalangin ay kinikilos ng pangangailangan. Need-centered praying will be shallow even when it is urgent. It will reduce prayer to a step, not an atmosphere. And see where you may be in peril of being taken from the custody of the Word and engage the faithfulness of Christ. Call upon Him. Call that you may be kept. And it is because Christ is faithful that Christians are kept against the many perils. John Bunyan illustrated this in his Pilgrim's Progress in that episode where Christian visited the house of the interpreter. And he was shown that one of the features he was shown was this wall. On the one side are flames representing the graces of Christians. And there's the devil pouring water on the flames, seeking to quench them. And Christian asked the interpreter, "How is it that the flames are not quenched?" And he was shown the other side of the wall where Christ is pouring oil. As the devil was pouring water, seeking to quench the flame, Christ is pouring oil in order that the flame be not quenched. That's the explanation. We have been in those periods where we feel our graces so weak that we feel we will not last a week. And lo and behold, you come to church having lasted through the week. What explains that? Not your resolve, But because Christ is faithful, demonstrate that in Christ-centered praying, engaging His faithfulness. Then the second point is confidence in the Lord for obeying. Pagtitiwala sa Panginoon para sa pagsunod. Listen again to Paul. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will do the things that we command. Here again is an important measure of living the Christian life. Obedience is the Christian life. Obedience to commands. But we must understand obedience is not the function of self-confidence but of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ang pagsunod ay hindi dahil kumpiyansa tayo sa ating kakayahan, kung hindi pagtitiwala sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. And I just admire the beauty of this statement of Paul in defining the Christian life. It allows no imbalance. It does not permit the attitude that sounds pious sometimes when a person or when a Christian says, I will just leave it to the Lord what I should do. Iwanan ko na lang sa Panginoon kung anong aking gagawin. Well, parang banal pakinggan, but it often results in a cop-out of responsibility. There are stated commandments that we must obey. And when you ignore those commandments, you cannot then make a cop-out saying, I leave it to the Lord. The Lord has given to you what must be done. But on the other hand, we cannot reduce obedience to flexing your muscles and counting your resources. Christian living is obedience to the commandments of the word. You cannot get around that. Some of the commands of Paul in this letter would be considered today as not nice. Listen to some of his commands. 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. Now that's not nice. I mean, if you judge it on the basis of today's nicety, but it's a command. And the church that seeks to obey must have in place proper disciplinary structures because it is out of obedience to commands. Or listen to 3:10, even more not nice. When we were with you, we commanded you. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Come on, Paul, be nice. But again, we commanded you that there must be that connection, linkage between privilege and responsibility. Now test your Christian living by its obedience to stated commands. Are you a Christian? The command, if you are not, is come to Christ, repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? The command clearly is be baptized and be a part of a biblically ordered church. What command most applies to you? For you younger people, perhaps respect authority. Honor your father and mother. Simple command, and yet such a special command that we are told in Ephesians 6, the first command with a promise. So there must be obedience. And obedience is obedience to commandments. However, obedience is done out of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not self-confidence. In other words, you go back, we go back to His own obedience. The kind of obedience we cannot perfect, He did. So we do not trust in the way we obey. Of the Nobel Awards, I think it is right to say that the most coveted is the Nobel for Peace. Many are well-deserving. Some have raised eyebrows, such as what happened in 2009, barely beginning his term, Barack Obama was chosen for the Nobel Prize for Peace. And many have asked, for what? He's just beginning his term. No accomplishment yet. And now, going into the elections, questions are being raised. Well, there can be doubts as to the award made by men, but there can be no doubt as to the fact that Christ earned what He has achieved. And therefore, our confidence is not in men. Our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the challenge is cultivate trust in the Lord again in the atmosphere of Christ-centered praying. Linangin mo ang pagtitiwala sa Panginoon sa diwa ng panalangin nakasentro sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. I said last week that praying is the posture of weakness, and it is. But it is tapping into the power of God. It is in that posture that you admit your weakness before God and then seek His enabling for obedience. Now, what does that mean? It means you cannot excuse or you cannot use prayer as an excuse for not doing what you know to be the commandment of God. And this is where prayer intercession is wisely designed by God to have its dynamic in the church. Hindi mo maaring gamitin ang panalangin bilang katwiran na hindi mo tinutupad ang kautusan ng Diyos. At dito tayo humihingi rin ng panalangin ng kapatiran kung tayo ay seryoso sa pagsunod sa ating sa iniuutos ng salita ng Diyos. When we are serious about our obedience, we will not just pray, but seek others to pray for us. He who seeks intercession will not use prayer as an occasion to excuse his disobedience. Kung maririnig mo, kahit maliwanag na ang salita, ang sagot ay pinapanalangin ko pa. Eh kung maliwanag na sa salita ng Diyos, ang ipanalangin mo ay the seriousness, the enabling to obey and then trust the Lord for your obedience. Paul expresses confidence in Christ on behalf of the Thessalonians. And here is another thing about seeking intercession. Intercession stands on esteem for the brethren. Kahit pa may problema itong Thessalonica, ganyan ang pagtingala ni Apostol Pablo sa kanila bilang mga kapatiran na kanyang hiniling ang kanilang panalangin. And here is another thing, we cannot use prayer as an expression of any contempt for the brethren. There is a use of prayer or intercession that is ugly and unacceptable, but I have found this often exchanged among Christians, and that is gossip couched in a prayer request. A prayer request teeming with contempt for brethren. And this is something that must not happen where there is a real esteem for the brethren and their prayers. And the antidote to that is Christ-centered praying that cultivates trust in the Lord for yourself and for the brethren. Obedience is not about securing something from God, such as blessing and favor. That will be legalism. Hindi tayo sumusunod para bigyan tayo ng pabor ng Diyos. Obedience is response to what Christ has already done for us. Ang pagsunod ay pagtugon sa ginawa na para sa atin ng Panginoong Hesukristo, ang pabor na nangyari na. In His own obedience to His mission, think of a command that is clear in the Word of God and put it in Christ-centered prayer. And when we are truly recognizing Christ to be in authority and someday will fulfill everything that He has promised, we will be there ready to obey Him. There is another anniversary in Christian history tomorrow, but it is one of folly. October 22, 1844 was the date predicted by a leader of the Seventh-day Adventists that Christ will come. And there was great expectation. He made calculations of the book of Daniel and others to arrive at the date October 22, 1844. And of course, it did not happen. And the next day, the big headlines of American newspapers was great disappointment. And that's what that day has come to be known in Christian history, the great disappointment. You see, the folly of that is to think that you need to know what Christ will do on any given day in order to do what His will is going to be. You do not need to know what Christ will do on any given day. You need to know what to obey. And whether Christ comes on that day or not is beside the point. Do what is your duty to do. Even if I knew that Christ will come tonight, we'll still have our morning and afternoon services. That's duty. That's obedience to God's commandments. So I challenge you, what it is, what is it that it is your duty to do based on the commandments of God? And when you know, don't flex your muscle. Rather, be on your bended knee. Assume the posture of weakness and there seek to trust in the Lord. Well, all people with religion pray. What sets apart the Christian when he prays is that he prays with Christ-centeredness. Perhaps this is what might have been missing in our prayer life. Perhaps just like others, you pray to God. Perhaps just like others, you have your schedule of praying, and I commend all that. But what should distinguish the Christian's prayer above everything else is that it is the Christian alone who approaches God with a Christ-centered outlook. Ang Kristiyano lamang ang nananalangin to lumalapit sa Diyos na nakasentro sa Panginoong Hesukristo. At yan ang maglilinang sa ating puso ng pagtitiwala sa Kanya upang tayo ay sumunod at magbibigay sa atin ng pagkilala ng Kanyang katapatan kung tayo ay iniingatan. And this is what Paul appeals to the Thessalonians, that they pray with their minds upon the Lord. And that is the challenge to us in order that we may truly, in the Christian life, fulfill whatever we have promised to fulfill to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing our last hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised. It says, O Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Be Thou forever near me, my master and my friend. And that should be the spirit in which we approach the Christian life. Not that we have the muscle to flex, but rather we have the Lord Jesus near. And when that is the case, it goes on, I shall not fear the battle if Thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if Thou wilt be my guide. Let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa Ama, tunay nga na ipinapaalala ng aming mensahe ang katotohanan na anumang mayroon kami sa buhay ng pananampalataya, ito ay nakabatay sa Panginoong Hesukristo. At kung kami ay magsasabuhay ng iyong salita, ito ay nasa diwa ng panalangin nakasentro sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Tulungan mo kaming matutunan ang ganitong aral at sariwain na muli sa aming buhay ang panalangin nakabatay, nakasentro sa aming Panginoong Hesukristo. For it is the Lord Jesus who is faithful in preserving us in the custody of the Word. May you refresh in our thoughts that the Christian life is not about rituals, not about activities, no matter how Christian they may be. It is about being under the custody of the Word of God. And may this be what we seek to cultivate in our Christian life. And when we are kept in the custody of the Word, the explanation is not our strong resolve, for we are vulnerable. The explanation and the cause is the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the indestructible one. We are vulnerable. And when we are enabled to obey, it is in confidence in the Lord's enabling. It is He who obeyed perfectly, a perfection we can never attain. And yet out of that, we are challenged to obey and obey the commandments that we already know. May we not excuse prayer as an excuse for disobedience or for lack of obedience. May we not use prayer to excuse our idleness. And in this regard, we have the prayer intercession of the saints as one such dynamic in the Christian life. for us to be able to obey. So grant that we may esteem the prayers of fellow believers highly, to seek their intercession, and that we may be zealous and diligent in our own prayer, seeking your enabling for obedience. And as we have just sung, "Oh, give me grace to follow," that is what we need, your grace, that we may follow, and grant us to be praying men and women, and to the end, that we may be obedient believers to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.